Okay, we are now recording. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you.
Lord Jesus, I thank you.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
And my spirit is perceiving.
And my spirit is perceiving.
This message.
This message.
Should become a solution for me.
Should become a solution for me.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to open it up with Revelations chapter 11. And if you hear a heartbeat on this message, it's the thump, thump, thump from what's going on the second floor. So, the seven trumpets are called forth, and I just want to kind of hit this corner because I believe the Holy Spirit is pressing for us to start trusting that there's progress going on in the body of Christ. Amen. Verse 15 says, "The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, or his anointed. And he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Verse 18 is quite important. The nations were angry. And your wrath has become, I'm sorry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Now, you look at that and you say, wait a minute, what is really happening here? If you listen to Dutch Sheets about the revelation that the Lord gave him for the 4th of July, he pointed out that the last test for the Israelites were when they were cornered in front of the water and the mountain, and they couldn't escape. And the intent was that there was one more god, which was the god of the ocean, that Pharaoh had submitted to, and God was really saying, you're not going to win. All of these little gods are nothing compared to me. And I thought that was kind of cool because he brought it out again this week on one of the Give Me 15. And that was exciting. And I said, Lord, that's really what's happening right now. You see, I can tell you that the state of Massachusetts infested with witchcraft. Okay? When I remember years and years ago, Tim Moore had given me a book called, it was a cassette tape, The Witch That Switched. And of course, she was the head witch of the East Coast down south, and all the drugs were passing through her, and she got a cut on all of it. And the name of the book was Irene Parks, or there is a book that she wrote, The Witch That Switched. And obviously she would come to Salem every year. So, you know, why does the enemy set up camp where God has literally said, this is my land? Did you ever consider that? He wants to make a mockery of everything that God has already prepared. But that does not cancel God's word. That does not bring an awareness that, you know, the darkness is going to continue to rule. Because again, this is a prophetic word that's been given to us. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's the solution. That means these little demons that have been worshipped for years, and they're little compared to our God. That's what I'm getting at. I could go on giving you all kinds of scriptures about, you know, the demonic is set up shop in all over the nations. When Jesus calls Satan the prince of this earth or the prince of this world, he's not making believe. He is the prince, okay? And he doesn't mistreat him. He just tells him, the Lord rebuke you. And that's what I've tried to teach most of you, to remember that you don't insult the demon spirits that control the region. You stand and you hold your ground and you say, the Lord rebuke you. Whether it's the spirit of Jezebel, which, by the way, that was kind of cool. When you listen to Kent Christmas about the statue that's in downtown Nashville, I didn't know anything about that. But I thought it was pretty cool that he made it public. And he said he wanted an earthquake to take it down. I don't know if I would want an earthquake and shatter the whole city for one statue. I do believe that the Lord can send some kind of, I told that to Gail the other day. I says, maybe a good bolt of lightning would take care of it, not damage the city and not damage the people. But again, the kingdoms of the world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, of his anointed. And he will reign forever and ever. So, how does that fit as a solution? Well, that means there's going to be a war going on, right? A war between darkness and light. The paper that into my possession the other day, because again, the Lord said, I want you to go digging in a corner of your Bible, and I did. And long story short, this is the paper that came up. And I've taught on this before, so there will be some more scriptures as you go. But I'm just going to release the word to you. As Christians, we tend to come from unique schools of thought concerning the end times, which I shared with you earlier about the PTL program, the people that are on there. Some of them are very much involved in the guy from Florida there. And again, their rapture is really what they're holding on to and believing that they're going to escape. And to me, it just doesn't bring a solution. So some believe the rapture could occur at any moment. Others see the church going through some, if not all, the tribulation. Still others are trusting that whenever the rapture occurs, they will be prepared. The Bible itself focuses on dark and foreboding events occurring during the last hours of the age. I do not want to minimize that focus. It is real. Yet there is more of God's calendar than the rapture or tribulation. I believe there will be a baptism of light for those who truly follow Christ. Now, what's a baptism of light? Are you ready? You can write down Mark 9, verse 1. Consider immediately prior to the transfiguration, Jesus told his disciples something remarkable. He said, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. Hear me? There are some of those who are standing here, so he's looking at the 12, okay, who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. Mark 9:1. Jesus plainly stated that some of his first century disciples would see the kingdom of God after it had come in power. Jesus was not speaking of the rapture or even the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He was speaking of the transfiguration, which you, in your testimony, said I was changed. He was speaking of the transfiguration. Indeed, all four Gospels tell us about a week later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain. Why did he pick only three? I believe only three were ready. Where he was transfigured before them, Mark 9:2. Mark 9:2. What Jesus revealed to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration was a picture of the end time manifestations of the glory of God. In the kingdom church, Jesus truly showed some of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, what the kingdom of God would look like after it had come with power. Again, power. Think about it. Stay with me. The transfiguration is a picture of what I call the baptism of light. In Isaiah 60, fulfilled. It is Isaiah 60, fulfilled. It is the kingdom cleansed of tares, where the righteous will shine forth as the sun. House cleaning has been going on with the angelic assistants. And there's going to be a change that is going to be visible and feelable. Because you're empowered by the inside. You're not empowered just by looks. Okay? I repeat, it is the kingdom cleansed of tares. Only wheat is remaining. Where the righteous will shine forth as the sun. Matthew 13:43. You need that one. Matthew 13:43. It is also confirmed in Daniel 12:3, where those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heavens. It is the bride of Christ putting on her fine linen, bright and clean. Revelations 19:8. That one's also important because, again, it's a forecast. But it is not the rapture. I believe in the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, the baptism of light is before the rapture. In the rapture, our bodies will change, the mortal putting on immortality, etc. During the transfiguration, Jesus' body stayed essentially the same. His body, literally, did change in a sense because he radiated from his spirit, right? Others than it was radiant with light, he still suffered and died. In the rapture, we will never die. The baptism of light is the culmination of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians church. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. That's another word you used. Into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. The word translated or transformed is the same exact word translated transfigured in the Gospels. I repeat. The word translated transformed is the exact same word translated transfigured in the Gospels. I never knew that. The transfiguration, the baptism of light, you see, this is what awaits the overcoming church at the end of the age. As Jesus said, "The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me." John 17, verse 22 and verse 22 through 23. This is why when we see darkness covering the earth, a part of me is encouraged. For it is in context of deep darkness covering the people that Christ utters his command. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Was it one person or was it also the corporate Christ? You make the decision. If the bride is like the bridegroom, then we've got some changes happening down the road. Okay? And I shared with you guys on Tuesday that when Rick Joyner was on PTL just this past week, or the week before, actually, he pointed out a while back that he had an experience where the light of Christ hit him and invaded him. And he said it was the most intense time that he ever experienced. I can say to you that during the testing that the Crown of Thorns was visiting with me in these past few months, there's been some, let's say, awareness of some changes in me that I'm aware of. And it's not something I'm ready to, you know, go into details with. But I know Gail's been going through stuff. She went through stuff a few years ago, and there was changes then. But I don't think there's anything compared to the changes that she's really tasted of now. So, you know, are we being prepared for the next level? I believe we are. I believe we're being tested. We're being tested to see if we have one mind. If we can think the same way and not feel one is less than the other or one is higher than the other. Because again, the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 says when they were in one accord, of one mind, they thought the same, they were in total harmony, and that's when changes happened in their experience. Now, is it necessary to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit again? Well, we've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We already have the gift of the new language if we use it. If we are the new creation, then you're going to be aware of some dramatic things that have happened inside of you at different intervals in your life. And you're a perfect example of what you shared this morning. Okay? You know there's been a change. It's been made. And you've also given the glory to the Lord, which, you know, is awesome. Now, did you enjoy the preparation, which means the desert?
No.
No. I don't know anybody who enjoys the desert. I didn't enjoy some of the crucifixion. Did I understand that I was being, let's say, made aware of the sufferings of our God and what his son went through? Then he kind of switched it on me And he made me aware that as a grandfather and a great-grandfather, when I watch my little ones hurting, I bleed with them. You know, I mean, it's just automatic. If you see somebody that's really having a hard time and you want to pull them out of it, because obviously you don't want them to be hurting or having an issue, or finding a solution for them is what we are actually run for. Why do we go to the doctor? If we can't fix it ourselves, we run to the doctor to get a solution. Well, I believe what I just gave you is a solution, but I believe it also will bring a price. I can tell you that Royal Cronquist, one of my mentors, knew about this and had seen some of it. Now, I can't verify that. But his message was, we need to remember that God is going to transfigure his creation. And we will match the sun. We will have the images before us of what Jesus was. And if we can take a good look at what happened to Peter, James, and John, they fell asleep. Okay? And Peter, of course, is so excited because he wants to build a tabernacle. And that tells you the season that it happened in. So this is my observation. I believe that when that last trumpet sounds, that the Feast of Tabernacles, which will happen again this fall, if it is the timing, if the completed time has happened, this transformation and transfiguration could take place. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready to see yourself totally radiating the light of Christ through your body? What's going to happen with your family then? Can you handle the persecution that has been, let's say, portrayed with the inoculation of the COVID-19 shots? How much persecution that brought? How much division did it bring? Is it a precursor? I don't know. I'm not saying that I know, but I do believe down the road the Feast of Tabernacles will be completed and Jesus will radiate through his sons and daughters. And it will be quite an impact. I don't think it'll make the world holy. I think what it'll do is these that have the experience will probably respond very similarly to Acts chapter 2 and 3. Because again, what happened then shook the entire nation of Israel. And judgment came down the road in 70 AD to those who rejected. I can remember when Susan O'Mara came, and she pointed out that the Lord showed her 2040, 2050, et cetera, et cetera. And so I don't know what's going to happen down the road. I'm not saying that I have that revelation, but I do believe is to see us transformed. And when we are transformed, it will bring all new kinds of testings that I believe Jesus was able to survive. But he did have three that knew what had happened to him and what he was able to do. Now, I'm going to add one more little corner on this thing. I never had this revelation, but Royal did. He said, when Jesus died, he died as the Son of Man. Okay? But he's also called the second Adam. Well, if he's the second Adam, what happened to the first Adam was the lights went out for him and his wife, right? and they literally were naked for the first time. So the lights went out in Adam and Eve in Genesis, and Jesus had the lights turned back on the mountain. Yes? And it shattered the three that were the witnesses. That's the kingdom age. So we have a future to radiate the light, like it says in Daniel chapter 12. You've been prepared. And you will believe with all my heart. You will walk in it. So if you lift your hands to the Lord, say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
This has got to be confirmed.
This has got to be confirmed.
With signs and wonders.
With signs and wonders.
It's got to be something that's going to be confirmed to me.
It's got to be something that's going to be confirmed to me.
So that I can walk in it.
So that I can walk in it.
And then give it out.
And then give it out.
Because when they were filled with the Holy Ghost,
they were told to go out
and fill those that were ready.
And Peter did an awesome job
with one speech.
3,000
came and were changed. Am I ready for that? And if that's an example, then what will be next? I believe we can't imagine. I don't think our minds can imagine what will happen when an army of men and women that are filled with light, radiating and walking the streets of New England. You tell me what's going to happen with the witches and warlocks. You tell me. Okay? What are they going to be saying? John Paul Jackson would go to the different occult meetings that they had. And I remember one of his testimonies where he met the young man that was actually the head warlock of the city of Boston. And he said he couldn't look at me. John Paul was radiating too much light. I like talking to you, but I can't look at you. That's a sample of the future. And John Paul was not radiating it to the point that Jesus was radiating on the mountain. But I think that's a forecast of what I'm saying to you. Is that going to be a solution for the unbelievers? I believe some will definitely be affected, but others will turn against you. And they will act out their Antichrist spirit. No different than when they turned against the 12. Or they turned against Peter, James, and John. Don't go back into the temple, don't you? We don't want you here. And that's a picture of the religious church, which I don't think is going to survive. They will survive when they join together under the Antichrist anointing. Okay? So, I think it's time to break bread. I've given you some pills to swallow. Thank you, dear. I give you some pills to swallow. Oh my goodness, look at this bread. Woohoo!